There was a time when covering the Hadoop story was a fairly easy thing to do. There was Hadoop, and that was about it. There was Hadoop. Now, there's a giant ecosystem of different components that are built around Hadoop. I mean, we've still got the core, HTFS, MapReduce, Yarn, but there's a lot more things that go into it nowadays. So, trying to figure out exactly what's going on inside of the Hadoop ecosystem is always a challenge. But when we're challenged like that, there's a couple of people that we reach out to. One of them is Tim Hall, VP of Product Management at Hortonworks. We reached out to Tim. We wanted to know, what are some of the key things that are changing in the world of Hadoop? And what are some of the great areas where we're seeing progress and improvement that all of the people in the Hadoop community are going to be excited about?
Yeah, I think the key here, there's two things. Number one is the era of command line interface being the primary access mechanism for Hadoop is over. We need to continue as a community to build compelling user experience on top of Hadoop. And we have contributions being made by partners and also being made within the open source community to do that. The key here is that there's lots of progress that's been made. Certainly HTTP 2.3 shows some of the directions in which we can do an improved job. And then the second thing is we need to continue to focus on enterprise readiness for Hadoop. As we move out of the category of early adopters and into the mainstream, and so we continue to be focused on operations, security, and governance, which are really the three cornerstones of any enterprise software product. And we will continue to progress that agenda, the ease of use, along with enterprise readiness, through the end of the year and into 2016.
Now, talking about 2016 and how Hadoop is being used today and how it'll be used in the future, what are some of the interesting applications that you're seeing Hadoop being used for today that maybe it wasn't used for in yesteryear?
Well, I'm going to give you a generalization to start with, but this is the most surprising thing that we see with Hadoop going forward is it mainly started as this notion of how do we do cost-effective analytics at scale, right? So, Yahoo was trying to index the internet, and in terms of gathering all that information and then being able to analyze it and provide excellent search results, at a fairly large scale and not blowing out the budget, that was sort of the goal. And while I think a lot of organizations sort of started by saying that is a powerful application of Hadoop because we have larger and larger data sets that we're dealing with, I would say that is sort of stage one on the journey, but it is not nearly the end state. What we see organizations doing now that are super impactful is moving from that notion of the descriptive, and descriptive means post-transaction work, offline, so reporting and analytics as an afterthought of what's going on within the ecosystem of actions and activities that go on within your business. And now they're shifting towards what we would call systems of engagement. This was a term coined by Jeffrey Moore. And a system of engagement is actually looking at how we bring analytics and that information that's being received and analyzed all the time and making it part and parcel to the action, the next set of actions or activities that are taking place. And let me give you some idea what that means. We have worked with the municipality in the Midwest, and they have buses, and their bus lines have turbochargers in them. And, turbochargers can fail. And one of the things that they have is they're collecting a large set of telemetry data off of the bus line. And based on using that information and training machine learning algorithms on it, we were able to predict 80% failure rates on the turbocharger with the 80% accuracy rate. So what this means is we can identify when a bus, is potentially going to have a problem and proactively take that bus out of service and perform maintenance on it. And so this is the big shift, is customers are moving from the descriptive world. The next stage is to become proactive. Use that information to proactively identify something that you're going to take out of service, in this case, predictive maintenance event. And then that predictive stage is next, and then that's followed by prescriptive. So predictive, next stage, going from proactive to predictive, is saying what is the, let's take a e-commerce case. What's the next user's action going to be? Can you predict that Johnny on this website is going to click on, which link based on all the things that he's done before? So the spectrum going from left to right is descriptive, which is sort of where we've come from systems of record and analytics as a post-transaction activity, moving to proactive. Can we use that information now immediately to be proactive about events? To predictive, can we predict what's going to happen next and use that as part of our system of engagement? And then last is prescriptive. Do we want to tell people what to do? Not only are we monitoring what they're doing and guessing about what those actions could be and suggesting ads and products that they may find a value, but we actually direct them more prescriptively. So that's the spectrum. Hopefully that makes some sense. This is really moving from systems of record to system of engagement, and we've got tons of organizations that are going down this path. Quote in my blog for HTTP/2.3 from Everstring, they're providing this sort of analytics as a service. We had quotes in the press release from TrueCar and others that you can certainly look at, and these are all examples of businesses that are thriving on top of moving from a post-transaction world of analytics and reporting to a pre-transaction world of prescriptive use of analytics in real time.
Now, the world of Hadoop is growing, and there are so many different sub-projects and different components and packages that you can apply to Hadoop infrastructure that, discussing it can sometimes get overwhelming, let alone actually managing distributed runtime architecture. How do people do it? How are people managing this giant ecosystem of products in the Hadoop world and making sure that they've got applications that can perform well, that can scale well, and can be easily managed and governed in a distributed environment?
Let's start with describing what people mean when they say Hadoop today versus what they might have meant a few years ago. So Hadoop now is a catch-all for a phrase which might be better described as Hadoop, Apache Hadoop Core, which is the HDFS, MapReduce, and Yarn, surrounded by an ecosystem of components that ride on top of that. And that's a really long phrase to say, so people just say Hadoop, and so you kind of have to parse that and say, do you mean Hadoop Core, just Yarn, MapReduce, and HDFS, or are you actually talking about the ecosystem of components? We can say HTTP is the platform, right? And it contains all of those things. So that's one of the subtleties of working in this space that's important to note. And why? It's because each one of the components that come out of the Apache Software Foundation, they all have their own settings and parameters that you need to fiddle with in order to get them configured and deployed properly. And of course, now you can imagine HTTP is made up of more than 20 of those components. And the value proposition from Hortonworks is that we're testing, validating that they work together in concert. And of course, we want to provide customers with recommendations about how those settings and properties get set so that everything functions optimally. But of course, there's all kinds of variations in hardware, from the number of disks to the CPUs to the memory footprint to your network I/O and so on and so on, that there's just a lot of work for the administrator to do. And so it's one of the chief complaints that we hear from people is, look, can you not bring this up a level? Can you not give us more recommendations? And so that's one of the things that we landed, is this notion of smart configuration, where we've, instead of giving an administrator a list of 100 different properties that they need to set, can we surface the 15 most critical ones, 15 or 20, and then can we give you recommendations on how to set them based on the hardware that we observe that they're running on? And can we tell you about interdependencies of those properties themselves? So, for example, if I set one value, does it affect any other values that are in the, you know, in that configuration? Because if they do, you should tell me about them before I get into trouble. And previously, we just, you know, we were really providing sort of a flat list and letting people, you know, set those parameters, but it really required you to understand the interdependency and what every one of those things really meant. And that's just a lot of work. And so we're sort of on a journey to do a three-step, you know, process. Number one is, yes, you need them. You need to have that inventory of all the properties. Number two is what we're working on now, the smart configuration. Give them spinners and sliders and range checks and boundary conditions and recommendations of where we believe those things can be set, but then allow the administrator to do additional tuning if appropriate. And then last would be looking at how we deliver profiles. And this would be similar to the way that you deal with things like the power management settings on your laptop. Are you in presentation mode? Are you in airplane mode? Are you plugged in? What does that mean in terms of how the battery is going to be used relative to screen brightness and the hard drive, if you actually have a hard drive, and other sorts of power management settings. And again, the idea is all of those underlying controls are available if you want to tweak and twiddle with them, but I can give you a profile to start with that will then set that. And that's really the sort of, that'll be the third step that we want to go towards, is once we have sort of comprehensive smart configuration of all the componentry, then can we start defining and saving profiles that people can apply. And that actually ties in with our notion of smart sense, the proactive support piece, because as we're gathering all that, you know, configuration information from customers and optimizing, you know, their performance, we could, you know, push back a whole profile of settings that we've curated here at Hortonworks headquarters.
So throw our readers a bone or two. When you actually go into an organization that's got a big runtime Hadoop installation, what are some of the most obvious parameters that might be misconfigured? And what are some of the biggest and perhaps easiest things to fix in order to improve the performance of a distributed Hadoop application?
So there's a lot of disk buffer cache sizes. There's the transparent huge memory page settings. Those are two things that we see quite frequently misconfigured within the customer environment.
And when we're talking about a customer environment, we're talking about big installations here. Like, we're not talking just Hadoop running on one or two nodes in the classroom, right?
You know, when we're talking about these things, we're talking about customers who are deploying on, you know, on a cluster, which means, you know, potentially many nodes. And so one of the really interesting things about this is, you know, system administrators can be, you know, well-intentioned in terms of trying to set all these things up. But, you know, if you're setting up a 100-node cluster and you only forget three things on three different nodes, that's still going to cause you a problem. Now the question is, how do you figure that out? Right? It's 97 nodes you did exactly right and three you didn't. So which are the three? And so that's one of the things that... Yeah, exactly. So SmartSense goes ahead and you know, gathers all that information, brings it back, we can analyze it, and then we can target and say, these three nodes have this buffer cache misconfigured. And it's like, oh, that's awesome, because now I know exactly which three nodes to go look at, as opposed to what would you do in the old days? You potentially SSH into each box and check the configuration one by one. You want to do that 100 times? I can tell you the answer is likely no.
Now, we've been talking a lot about Hadoop. What's actually going on at Hortonworks? I do believe there were some key announcements at a recent summit. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
We announced at Hadoop Summit our next release of the Hortonworks data platform to version 2.3. And the three things that we were focused on is really delivering a new breakthrough user experience. Particularly for Hadoop operators as well as developers who are using the platform. The second thing we focused on is enhancements that we've made regarding security and governance, and particularly around data governance. So you can imagine lots and lots of data landing in Hadoop. What do you got? How can it be used? Who can use it? That sort of thing. And then last but not least, we announced something called SmartSense, which is a proactive support offering. So as our customers are using HTTP within their environments, it's a phone home capability, which sort of a forensic vacuum, if you will, picks up cluster configuration, log file information, other operational information, anonymizes it to a certain degree, and then sends it back to us for analysis. And based on analyzing the bundle of information that we receive, we're able to do things like detect configuration issues and provide recommendations to optimize the performance of the cluster itself.
Hadoop and the world of distributed programming really is one of the most exciting things going on in the enterprise community today. And we want to thank Tim Hall for giving us the lowdown on exactly what's going on in that community and also giving a bit of an update on what's going on with Hortonworks as well. For anybody that wants to learn more, well, you can follow Tim Hall at TimHallHWX. And, you know, you can always head over to Hortonworks as well, hortonworks.com. There's a great deal of information there, everything from their training, some of the products that they're releasing in and around the Hadoop ecosystem, and, of course, some great blogs from Tim and some of his coworkers as well.